Whatever you do, don't look down. You'll walk across the glass as long as you don't look down. And I said, dead on, mate, and I walked out because I couldn't do it. But he was right. And what I want to talk about this morning is this. There comes a time in life where as individuals and as a church, there comes a point on our journey, and we're on a journey, and this morning you're on a journey too, where the Lord says to you, wherever you're at, don't look down. Because when you start to look down, it all looks a wee bit scary. You will start to feel afraid, and more often than not, you will bottle it and you will walk away. Does that make sense? And so we are on a journey as a church. You're on a journey as an individual. And let me just say some things that are common about journeys. Number one, there's always a starting point. Number two, you always have a destination in mind. When you set out from your house this morning to get here, you started at your home probably, and your destination point, you have reached your destination for you, those of us sat-navs, was Exchange Church. Now, in between times, there were waypoints, and there were different parts of the journey. That is common. Now, here's the thing. Many people have started on a journey with God. They start on a journey in life, but they never get to where they want to go because at some point, whether it's circumstances, whether they just get lost, whether they make a wrong turn, whether they don't know how to navigate what comes towards them, maybe they fail to navigate the challenges that comes up. But whatever happens, a lot of people with God and a lot of people in life make a good start but never get through to the end. Why? Because at some point they looked down and they got afraid. And God has really been speaking to me about this. We've got to have our destination in mind, the goal. The reference point for your life is not your circumstances today. Where you're at today does not define where you're going to end up unless you allow it to. The reference point when you are a believer in God is the fact that He has spoken promises over your life. Their destination is somewhere beyond where you're living today. Let me give you an example. If you're sick this morning, that is not your final point. Why? Because Jesus Christ has said that He is a healer, He is a restorer, He is a redeemer. And so today, if you're on the journey of healing, let me tell you, if you have not seen it in fullness today, don't stop and look down and go, this is where I'm at, because your destination is wholeness and health and complete and utter goodness. Do you get that? But what happens is we go, oh no, this is where I'm at. I look down, I'm afraid. And so we get our heads off the job. Now, I'm going to read a story here this morning very quickly that will help us understand why that happens. Because I really felt the Lord say to us this morning is this. On our journey, personal and corporate, this is a time for people to keep their heads up, their eyes up, their hearts up, and whatever you do, don't look down. Because when you look down, you get all afraid. Yeah? Exodus chapter 6, verses 2 to 5, we're going to read these verses. This is God speaking to Moses, and He says, I am Yahweh the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as El Shaddai, God Almighty. There's so much. I could preach on this for a couple of weeks, but I'm going to throw it out and maybe come back to it in a week or two. But I did not reveal my name, Yahweh, to them, and I reaffirmed my covenant with them. Under its terms, I promised to give them the land of Canaan, where they were living as foreigners. You can be sure that I have heard the groans of the people of Israel who are now slaves to the Egyptians. So this is God speaking to Moses when the people of Israel are still in captivity. I'm well aware of the covenant with them. Therefore, say to the people of Israel, I am the Lord. I will free you from your oppression. I will rescue you from your slavery. I will redeem you with a powerful arm and great acts of judgment. I will claim you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God who has freed you from your oppression in Egypt. I will bring you into the land I swore to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you as your very own possession. I am the Lord. So here you have God. You have the people of Israel, the chosen ones of God. That's you in today's kind of world, okay? People called by God, but they are living in a place which doesn't reflect the promises that God had for them. So God over your life this morning speaks incredible promises for health, for prosperity, for fullness, for goodness, for peace, and for all of the fullness of heaven to be yours today. But many of us are in a place where we don't yet see that. We don't see it in our fullness. Now, the promises that God speaks over the people of Israel here are incredible. He says, I will bring you out. I will rescue you from bondage. I will redeem you. I will take you as my people. I will be your God. I will bring you into the land. That just meant into a place of fullness. And I will give it to you as a heritage. That means that it's not just for you. It's for your children and their children and all the rest of it. Just to keep on going. So whenever God blesses you, what he says is, it's not just for you, it's for the generations to come. So God speaks incredible promises over these people. And here's the thing, each of the promises that God writes in the Hebrew language here, I'm going to get a wee bit Hebrew-esque right now, I'm going to Hebrew it up, all right? Every verb that's written there, I will, is written in the past tense like it is completed and it is done. Now, this is really important. So whenever God speaks to the people who are in slavery, not yet seeing their fullness, he actually says, you are redeemed, I am your God. And in their mind, they would have been going, that doesn't make sense because my circumstances look like this. But whenever God speaks a promise over your life, he speaks it in the past tense, like it is done. And so the call on us then, and the call on you this morning is to go, right, if God has spoken something in my life, if he's given me a destination point, even though I am right in the middle of my journey, in God's eyes, the promises that he has spoken are done. That's the language that he used. They were viewed as being complete and having nothing else to be added to them. So you have the people of Israel, and God speaking to them and saying, listen, these promises that I'm speaking over you and the promises that God has spoken over your life this morning, they are done. And the people of Israel go, we're in captivity, we're in slavery. What on earth, Moses, are you talking about? You see, we do that. What happens on our journeys is this. We start off as believers. Whenever you come to Christ, you inherit the most incredible promises that anyone could ever inherit. You are made a son and a daughter. You are positioned with Christ as a co-heir. What that means is, like I said earlier on, that the call on your life as a believer is not that life does you over and you battle through in a spiritual Jackie Chan until you get to heaven, wah, wah, wah. What you do is you reign like a king over circumstances. And you might be going, Andrew, this is a pipe dream. This is this name it and claim it gospel. No, this is the gospel. This is the good news. There is no other message. And what happens is our mind changes because our circumstances tell us that God is not true. God is not right. Maybe we got it wrong. Maybe we should never have started this journey. Maybe. But when God first spoke to you, everything that he said was done and complete. Do you get that? God's perspective is different from our perspective. And some of us this morning need a realignment personally and corporately and get God's perspective on what point you're on in the journey. Because this is what happens in Exodus chapter 16. Let's go on. We read this. So you have the whole people of Israel. God speaks to them through Moses. And God makes incredible promises. And he says, listen, it's done. It's dusted. Don't worry about it. I'm going to see you through. 10 chapters later, Exodus 16. There too, the whole community of Israel, they're now on the journey. They complained about Moses and Aaron. If only the Lord had killed us back in Egypt, they explained. There we sat around, pots filled with meat, and ate all the bread that we wanted. But now you have brought us out into this wilderness to starve us all to death. This is so like what happens to us today. At this point on the journey, they had lost sight of a number of things. Number one, they had a promise from God. It was written as done, not a maybe. If you're struggling this morning in an area of healing or financial breakthrough, a relational breakthrough, what did God speak to you? Because if you don't keep the promises of God first, you will lose your way like these people did. Whether it's your circumstances, whether it's other people's opinion, whether it's fear, whether it's your experience, will all conspire in your life to bring you to a place where despite the incredible promises that God has spoken over your life, you will look at where you're at and go, hold on, I was much better off back there. I was much better off. Do you know what these people were saying? They were in slavery, hundreds of years of slavery, and they're on a journey to freedom. They're on a journey to fullness. They're on a journey to inheriting, not just for them, but for their children. But because circumstances got tough, they chose to elevate their circumstances over the promises that God spoke. And it made them want to retract because they looked down, they looked back, and they would have preferred to have been slaves than to keep pressing on for what God had called them for. That's the power that circumstances can have. Whenever you're out on that glass floor and God has spoken into your life and said, you go for it. I've put a call on your life. I've got fullness and I've got hope for you. I've got breakthrough for you. Go and you take your first step out onto that glass floor. You know what? The first few steps, there's the excitement of the call of God. And then you get somewhere out into the middle and you go, uh-oh, I've still got some way to go. And I'm standing right here now. And I start to look down. And when I look down, I lose all perspective and I want to wet myself and go back to where I started. Well, maybe not wet yourself, but you know what I mean. And God's at the other side going, no, no, when I promised you and I give you this word, whenever I spoke into your family that those relationships would be healed, whenever I called you and said that your business would be prosperous and successful, whenever I spoke to you and said that cancer would be done in your body and that you would live to see your children's children and they would live in the goodness of all the fullness of heaven coming in you and through you, I spoke it and I will see it come to pass. Don't look down. I love Psalm 33. There's a great verse, verse 7. It says, for the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all that he does. He is faithful in all that he does. The second thing was that, and this is a big important point, they just didn't understand that when you're on a journey, see today where you sit in your journey with God, it is only a point on your journey. It is not the end point. You will continue to journey with God, to discover more of God, to experience more of who he is until the day that you die and you go to meet him. And then there's the perfect kind of consummation, it says in the word, of you and God together. But see, until that point, you are a pilgrim on a journey, to use that great Christianese, all right? What it means is that every day is part of the deal. Now, here's the trick. And this is where I believe God's saying this morning. People, lift your heads up. In Philippians 1 verse 6, he says, if you're confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. I want to say over your life this morning, if God started a process in you, whether it's 20 years ago, 25 years ago, 5 minutes ago, the word that God speaks over your life this morning is whenever he started it, he promised that he would keep doing it every day until it is completed. That is God's promise to you today. Come on. Isn't that amazing? God is not going to leave you high and dry halfway out on the floor and say, you know what, figure it out for yourself. He's not going to speak into our church this morning and say, you know what, you started off well, you've had bumps in the road, and it's all been a bit difficult over this last year, so I'm out. God says, I bail. No, what he says this morning is this, I started a work in you. I promise you that I will carry it on to completion. Nothing and no one gets to call time on God's work, only God himself. Your circumstances don't get to call time. The opinions of other people don't get to call time. Your boss doesn't get to call time. When you have a call from God and a purpose from God and he has redeemed you and he has called you his son and his daughter, nothing and no one is going to stand in your way because he said he has called you. Don't look down. Keep going. And the promises that were spoken, you will see them because he has already fulfilled them. Fuck. I mean, this is not kind of normal Christianity for most people. But God has sent it to, you know, I've had this kind of in my heart, you know, kind of bubbling under the surface. Here's the point for me. In our own journey right now, there's days I feel scared, okay? There's times where I have to remind myself, whether it's with church, to go, don't lose sight of the goal. Don't lose sight of the goal. Whether it's with my family, whether it's whatever area of my life, but what God has been challenging me very personally about is this. Do not lose sight for what I called you for. Don't lose sight of it. Lift your eyes up and stop looking down. Because when I look down, all I can see is my own feet and thousands of feet, literally, below me. And I start to buckle. There's times when I look around this church and I think about where we've come from and the journey that we're on. And God says, who said that this was the final part of the destination? Who said that I was putting full stop on here and this is it? Man doesn't get to make that choice. Why? Because the purpose that I've called you together as a family for is much bigger than you. This is about my purpose, God said. This is about me. This is not about you and your ministry and all. This is about me reaching this world with men and women who are dying and need to know my love and my grace. Now, get a view of that. Stop looking down at yourself and look up. Why? Because I haven't brought you this far to leave you hanging. Why? Because I love those people so much more. And all of a sudden, I can feel faith rising in me. I start to feel encouraged again. I go, God, this is incredible. Think about that for your own life. Do you know whenever God breaks through in your life, you get the benefit, but it's about the glory of God being shown to the world. So whenever you get healed, do you know why God wants you healed? Because he loves you, number one, and he made you to be whole. But he also wants you to show that glory to the world, to go, my God is a healer and a restorer and a redeemer. I once was sick and now I am well. That's why at any point of our journey, I feel that God has sent us this morning as a church. Out in the middle, looking down at thousands of feet below you, you can be tempted to go. Buckle up, look up, and keep moving forward, forgetting what is behind, straining towards what is ahead. Press on. Why? Because it's worth it. You see, that's what I want to encourage you this morning. People who look down on the journey are people who tend to be a little bit self-obsessed. You know, when your life is just about you, and your life is just about you and your stuff and you and your things, it's very easy. Those, I find in my life, the times where I operate more in the flesh and I operate really selfishly is the times where I'm most likely to want to pack it in. Because I lose sight of what God has called me for. You know, when my world starts to become just about me and mine and trying to, do you know what? Those are the times where I start to, my head comes off the purpose of God and the call of God, which is always much bigger than me. And it's always the path of fullness in life. And when I make it about me and mine, I start to go, oh. And I want to say this morning as a church that one of the things that God has been speaking to us about, and we've talked about it at our elders' meetings, is, you know, getting a bigger view again of what we are called for. You know, I want you to step back for a minute. Remember how high the stakes are for every human life. Think about your family right now. Think about your work colleagues. Think about people who you love dearly. You know, each of us lives out, keep those people in your head, okay? Because each of us lives out our earthly days in a visible world. But that just barely conceals for me a much larger invisible reality. What I mean is this. What you see today will not last forever. It won't be here forever. We are in a conflict against the spiritual forces of evil, it says in Ephesians 6. And at some point, every human being, every human life that is alive today will be dead, and there will be an accounting. Now, what's this got to do with the grace gospel? Well, the point is this. There's about 7 billion people in the world today who are either going to heaven or they're going to hell. And that's why we need to be people who don't reduce this life to just about us. And start to look down and get all insular and start to, do you know why? Because this week I've been thinking and dwelling again on the fact that this church, Exchange Church, is the point where the work of Jesus and the world that is going to hell and needs people connect, okay? We are the visible vehicle that Jesus is choosing to take the message of God's love and grace and mercy to the people of this world and the people in your life. Get a view of that. Get a much bigger view this morning. Your life is bigger than a good job. It's much bigger than just an understanding spouse. It's better than having just non-delinquent kids. It's bigger than beautiful gardens, nice holidays, and fashionable clothes. You know what the Lord has said to me? The journey that I have put you on is something that is immense. It's something that started before you were born, Andrew, and it'll continue long after you die. It's about God rescuing a fallen humanity, his sons and his daughters, bringing them into the kingdom of light, progressively shaping them into the men and women that they're called to be. And do you know what he says to you this morning? I want you to be part of it. I want you to be part of it. That's the journey that I've started you on. Isn't that amazing? It's not just that God saved us. It's not just that God has started us on a journey. But what he actually says to us this morning is this. If you get a view of what your life's really about, you start to keep lifting your head up, and just those incredible promises that God speaks over your life, not only do you just not back out of those for yourself, but as you continue on your journey, you're going to bring men and women and boys and girls who are going to be changed, restored, redeemed forever and a day, for all of eternity, because that is the master plan that God started you on your journey for. And if you struggle with that this morning, do you know what? Maybe you're in a place where you've stopped and you're looking down. If your life is about you this morning, you'll go, whatever. But I think God is saying to us, actually, this church and this community, your life is about these incredible promises that God has promised that he will see through for you. But understand as well that when God spoke the promise, it was that you would leave an inheritance, and the heritage for your children, your grandchildren, and everybody else would be the fullness of heaven that you had the guts to keep on pressing on for. Isn't that amazing? If it's all so good, then why are people not connecting? I've got about 10 minutes left, okay? It shouldn't be a mystery as to, if this is the truth, if God is incredible and has these incredible plans, why is it in your world and my world that we're not seeing people connect the way they should? I mean, anyone who's really encountered Jesus, over this last year, I've thought to myself, in my life, okay, if you struggle at times just to keep going through, what I'd recommend is, see, when we have times like on Wednesday nights where you get to pray and be in the presence of God, I encounter Jesus in those moments, and it's those moments that keep me going. Whenever you encounter God in a real way, and you don't just play at church, play at ministry, play at being busy, but when you genuinely have an encounter moment with Jesus Christ and you know that he has touched you, you never turn back. Thing is, for me, I need those moments continually. I need to encounter. And so it's not a real mystery for people that, you know, because I have, what I'm trying to say is I can go to church anywhere and have all the form of church. I could be part of a church like a club anywhere in this land, all right, and fill my days with it and be dead on. But that will not help me to keep going on in my journey, because I need to be in a place where I'm encountering Jesus in his presence and in his power, hearing about his promises and being encouraged to keep going on in my journey. Do you understand? And that's what God is calling us as a church for. You know, in Northern Ireland, somebody said to me this morning that about 10% now of people in Northern Ireland are actual proper church attenders. Isn't that crazy? You know, whatever life looks like for people out there, then the church clearly is not speaking the same language. And there's deep needs in people's lives that are not being met. There are four groups of people in this country who are not connecting with the family of God and not encountering God in presence and power. Number one are believers who have been completely and utterly hacked off with the church. So you have Christians who believe in God, but they don't want to belong anywhere. You've got young people, you've got men, and you've got the poor. And I think for us, what God is saying is capture again. Our history, particularly over the Troubles, has been one where your church membership has been about oftentimes your political affiliation. So churches could count on certain bits of the society coming along because that's what you did. But we're in a different world now. And it's much more about the real needs of people's hearts and lives that have been hidden behind sectarian affiliation of one kind or another for years. And that's why I totally believe in this church. We have a God-given, God-breathed, and God-anointed thing going on for this time, this place, and with this group of people. You know what? Do you know what it is? It's what I've preached this morning, that God is good all the time, that God is a God of love and grace, that every promise that he spoke in the word is not there just to be read and put away, but it's there to be lived, experienced, and encountered. It's about freeing people into a message of God's love and grace and his commitment for them without in any way saying, God loves you, but. That's why this church matters. God spoke prophetically to Penny and I years ago about a church in Ireland that would be a movement that would tell the world about the unmerited favor of God, the love of God, and the grace of God. In 2 Corinthians 3:6, it says, you know, we are called to be ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the spirit. For the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. And so I want to encourage you this morning, that's what this journey is about. And you might look down now at our church at times, and you might look at your own life and go, we're halfway out. It's looking a wee bit scary, and I'm looking down, or I'm looking to the side, and it's a wee bit scary. But God says this. Do you know why I've called you? I've called you because I want you to be part of a family that unashamedly, today in Belfast, in Ireland, and through our ministry that goes out in the web to thousands of people every month, to be absolutely unashamed that God is good. And we're not going to put people under law. We're not going to put people under obligation. We're going to free them to be the men and women that God has called them to be. We're going to free them into grace and free them into an experience of God. It's the message is that God is good all the time. The message of this church is that God's anger and disappointment with you is done. His plan and his intention for every believer is that you would have life and life in all of its fullness. He wants you in goodness, wholeness, peace, prosperity, and in health. And I am unashamed about that. I'm not going to back down because people criticize us. I'm not going to back down because religious people don't like it. Do you know why? Whenever I look at the gospel, whenever I read the Bible, I don't see anything else other than that. And I know in my own life. I mean, I'm not a stupid guy, okay? I'm not the brightest tool in the bag, to mix my metaphors. I don't know what that brightest spark, whatever. But I'm not thick, all right? That's what I'm trying to say. I can never get my metaphors right. I mean, you know what I mean? Thank you. Sharpest tool in the box. I'm not that either, clearly. You know, isn't it brilliant the way you really try and you actually demonstrate how thick you are? Forgot what I was going to say. I'm not that bright, but here's the thing. But one thing I do know is this. In my experience of my walk with God, why am I, Penny and I, here this morning after a year of quite difficult stuff? Why am I saying this morning that this point in our journey is not the final point to look down, but it's the point to look up and say, God, if you started it, you're going to finish it? Because for me and my kids, for my grandchildren, whenever I look at what, you know, God has called us for, then I'm determined that nobody and nothing is going to put us off the call that God has. Because it is only the grace of God that will change people. Don't mix the grace with law. Don't start to put stuff on people. Let's commit ourselves to be a church family that introduces people to the unmerited favor of God without any equivocation. Amen. That's why we've got to keep going on our journey. It's the only thing that will ever change you. Condemnation, law, guilt, work, self-effort will never work. They'll leave you frustrated. You'll be disappointed. You'll feel not worthy. But in Romans 5:1, I said this verse earlier on, because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man. That's Adam. Much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Those who receive the abundance of grace, not a wee bit of grace mixed in with the, now you better do. When you receive the abundance of grace, the fullness of it, the overflow of grace, when you receive that kind of love, guess what happens? The free gift of righteousness, you start to reign in life. Let me turn that back on its head. If there's areas in your life where you're not reigning and seeing fullness, it's because you have not yet received the fullness and the abundance of God's grace. It's not that you're not trying hard enough. In fact, probably your self-effort is putting you straight back under the law. When you start to rise above your circumstances when you receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness. Why is that? Because it changes you from the inside out. When he says about the free gift of righteousness, what it means is a totally different view and a totally different understanding of who you're created to be. Church, we are called to bring your families, your friends, your unsaved people who have no idea, who are struggling in life, into a place where they actually encounter such powerful love from God himself through Jesus Christ that they are changed from the inside out. I don't want to bring them into a place that goes, we will love you when you do this. God loves you, but save us from that. And at times where I think, well, is that such a big deal? You know, I'm saved and I'm in the meeting, I'm going to heaven. And God keeps challenging me and going, look at all those people you know. Think about the people in your families. Think about the people that you work with. Think about your friends who there will be an accounting for. And God has poured it all out for them. For goodness sake, stop looking down and making it about you. Get your eyes up to the purpose that I've called you for. That's what this family is about. This is our time right now. In Romans chapter 13, what it tells us is this. that Paul says this, owe no one anything except to love each other. For the one who loves one another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. You see, when you start to understand truly that you've received the unmerited favor of God in your life, that you've received an abundance of grace in your life, you will start to fall in love with Jesus, and I mean properly. When you're full of the love of Jesus, when you love the people around you, when you have the love of God flowing through you, it overflows into every relationship in your life. First with God, your husband, your wife, your family members, your friends, your co-workers, and everyone else you meet. Without any command from God, you will start to demonstrate the fullness of the kingdom of God because you're rooted and grounded in grace and love. Why? Because you're changed from the inside out. It's like this. Let me explain it this way. The law will tell me not to commit adultery, okay? So don't sleep with somebody else other than Penny. The law will tell me that, but it has absolutely no power to help me to love Penny the way that I should. The law says don't do it. Love and grace changes me from the inside out to love her in the way that I'm called to love her. Does that make sense? That's the difference for people. I want people coming into a family where it's not just don't do this, do that, do the other, but let us introduce you to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and just you abandon yourself to his love and his grace, and all of a sudden, as that love flows in you and through you, sure, you'll have your ups and your downs because you're on the journey, but you will change from the inside out, and you will see your world change as you get the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, and you start to get completely immersed in Jesus. Now, I'm utterly convinced today, and with this I finish, that this is our time right now. You might come in here this morning and want to play around with God, play around with your life, and play around with your calling, but honestly, I don't. I've come too far, been through too much, had too much pain and hurt to simply at this point look down and wet myself and walk back. Okay? The stakes are too big for me. The stakes are too big for this country. The stakes are too big for your family this morning. The stakes are too big for your children and for their children's children. At some point in your life, I, whatever circumstances come your way, probably the stakes will be big for you too. You might think, I'm all sweet right now. But life has a funny way of bringing things to us, challenges and circumstances. And I want to tell you this morning, I pray that God would give you a heart and a vision again for the purpose that he has put this church together for. Unmerited favor and grace. No ifs, buts, maybes. Completely and utterly equipping people with that the promises of God are true and that they get to live those promises out. There are lots of other alternatives if ministry is your thing or churchy thing is your thing or whatever. And I'm not talking that down. It's just not the call that God has put on us. I want to honor and bless every church around the place, but there is something unique about here. There is something unique about what God has done in us. And I want to encourage you, where we are today is not the final point. It is simply a snapshot of our journey. Whenever I start to think about that, I start to go, okay, God, gives me perspective. We need to discover that Jesus loves us in whole new ways, and that as a church family together, we need to move, build, create, and serve our worlds and see them one for Christ. Now, I'm not going to talk to you about working harder and doing more, because I actually don't believe that is the point. In reality, you're part of something immense, and something began before you were born, and it will continue after you die. So this is not going to be us talking about let's work harder and do it. It's about going to be reestablishing in our hearts and our minds what we are called for, which is to be rooted, grounded, established in abundant grace and love, and to let that change us and to flow out to the world around us. That's what rest looks like. I kind of feel like, you know, this church thing, we need to do it in rest. Not get all, oh, we need to, you know, get all uptight. I actually believe a people who are at rest, that doesn't mean they sit in their backsides and do nothing. What it means is a rest, really, in the truest sense, is a peace that lives in your heart and in your mind, because you know that when God spoke it at the start of the journey, he would see it through. So you are removed from the responsibility of seeing it happen to the responsibility of receiving and letting God work through you. Oh, sweet mercy. I love that. So, I'm finished. Next week, I'm going to talk about how God multiplies things in your life. Okay, so I know it's May Day weekend and stuff, so it could be quiet, but I've got a great word for next week that the Lord's been putting in my heart as well. About actually right now, this is about putting into the hands of the God who multiplies. It'll bless you personally, and it'll also speak into our churches. But I want to encourage you. Where you're at today is not the end point. If God spoke something into your life and you have not seen it, go out of here today saying, God, I'm not looking down. I'm going to look up and remember that Philippians 1:6, if you started something, you're going to finish it.